Hey, friends, you know one of my favorite things to do is to shout out our student wins and community wins from the rooftops. And part of that is also bringing people back to share their story. So today's episode is with my friend Kate Murray of Quick Brown Fox Letterpress. She is back on the podcast to share where she's at now, all the new things that are happening in her business. Last time Kate and I talked here publicly was August of 2020, which feels like a lifetime ago. It was episode 166. If you want to catch that, I'll put the link in the show notes. But as we all know, business can significantly shift in 5 years. And so much has changed for Kate, too. She opened her own retail store. She's got a new leadership role with the Greeting Card Association. You're going to learn a lot in our conversation today. Kate shares her journey of launching a storefront, like I said, how she balances wholesale and retail operations, and the innovative ways that she's nurturing relationships with both key accounts and independent retailers. Also, she shares about some exciting wholesale collabs she's doing in the next year and the importance of patience for these types of collaborations to actually come to fruition. Sometimes it's really about playing the long game with wholesale, which I know can be frustrating at times, but it is a really important reminder to us that good things do take time to develop. Now, before we dive in, I wanted to let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by our Paper Camp program. Paper Camp is our wholesale coaching program where we will teach you everything you need to know to build a strong wholesale foundation. In just 4 short weeks, we're going to tackle your product line, your sales tools you need, your marketing plan, and we will even talk about how to exhibit at trade shows if that's what you want to do. We start with your product line, and again, everything goes into how often you should be releasing new products to ensuring that your numbers are sustainable for the wholesale market and priced for profit. Then we move into your sales tools that you must have for selling wholesale, things that you want to have in place to make a strong first impression with buyers, like your catalog, your terms and conditions, and then we go into marketing strategies. And we talk about both client acquisition and wholesale acquisition, as well as retention. And we talk about how different stores like different things. That's also the week that we talk with store buyers, and they come and tell us what they like and don't like. Now, each week's teachings in Paper Camp really do build on the previous week, and we host live weekly coaching calls to answer all of your questions, and the coaches and I are in there every single day answering all of your questions in detail so that you get tailored advice for your specific brand. Now, we will open enrollment for the next round of Paper Camp soon, and this program has sold out for years. I mean, every time we run it, we sell out. So join the waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. Again, that's prooftoproduct.com/papercamp. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. Since 2011, I've coached thousands of brands whose products can be found on the shelves of indie shops and big box stores all around the world. If you are a creative entrepreneur that makes and sells physical goods, you're in the right place. Here on Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies for product development, sales, marketing, and more. It's like your weekly dose of business school, and we're going to help you confidently grow your revenue in your own way and at your own pace. So let's get started. Kate Murray, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a while.
I was just going to say, I can't believe it, but when I was looking back at the archives, the last time you were on the show was August of 2020, and so much has shifted in your business since then. So I'm really excited to have you back to share an update with our listeners today. But for folks that maybe aren't as familiar with you, why don't you give them a quick overview on Quick Brown Fox Letterpress and how long you've been in business and what you sell?
Sure. So I'm Kate Murray. I own Quick Brown Fox Letterpress and Quick Brown Fox the store. I named it twice. Yeah, we sell letterpress greeting cards. Some people say we print too many colors. I say there's no such thing. A lot of puns. We make a lot of stuff in-house. I was Brooklyn-based for most of my life, and then we moved up the Hudson Valley. I think when I talked to you last, we had just started like looking.
Yeah,
up here.
I think so.
Yeah, so we've been up here now for about, 4 years. But yeah, so we started out as primarily a greeting card line, stationery, which is how we launched. And then, yeah, about 6 months ago, we opened the store.
I know. I'm really excited to dig into that because I think people are going to be really intrigued by how quickly you've done it and also the cool things that you've rolled out since having the store. But I also want to mention here, congratulations are in order. You are moving up the ranks at the Greeting Card Association here. It was recently announced that you're the new vice president slash treasurer, which means that you'll advance to be the president of the GCA in the coming years.
Yeah, 2 years. I'll be vice president. For 2 years, we have our president right now is somebody from American Greetings, Mary Beth, who's a really good mentor to step up to this. But yeah, it's kind of wild. I think I'll definitely be the smallest company to ever hold that position. So it's kind of wild and fun. I really didn't know if it was ever going to happen, but it's pretty amazing.
Well, I got to say, as somebody, I'm not actively involved in GCA to the extent you are. I do try to support as best I can. But like, I know you've done a lot of great work bringing light to the needs of indie manufacturers and indie brands that are coming up in this industry. Like historically, GCA was always this bigger businesses, bigger brands. And it didn't really feel like there was a space for the indie makers. And I feel like you really paved that way for them to get more involved and to have the support of an organization like GCA. So thank you for what you've done there.
Yeah, of course. I joke it's all because of, I joined, you know, it was COVID and like, what do we have to do during COVID? There was a lot of virtual meetings for the GCA and I was like, I am literally just sitting here doing nothing. I'm going to start like volunteering for some committees. So the first one I think I volunteered for was Noted, and the chair at the time was George White, was like, Kate, what do you think about this? And I was like, wait, you actually want to know what I have to think? And then from there, it's just, I just walked into every committee like, okay, everybody, I'm just going to say whatever I want to, not whatever I want to say, but like really like speaking up for the small makers who needed a bit more of a voice and like push small makers to get what they need out of an organization like that. So
yeah, fantastic. Kate, one of the things that I've worked with you a long time, and one of the things I admire most about you is your quick action taking. So you are the epitome of, I have an idea one day and then like the next week, the wheels are in motion and things are moving with it. And you've done this in a variety of things, whether it's new products, whether it's your moves. And the most recent one I like to point to is the opening of your retail shop. So tell folks about your retail shop. When did you open and what kind of products are you selling there? Is it just your work or are you selling from other artists and makers?
Yeah, I feel like I talked to you and I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do this. And then you like found a space. It did take a while to find a space. Just in case they're listening, I do have the best landlords. They really are committed to like affordable rent here. But yeah, so I really feel like I do get an idea and then it sits in my head for a few minutes and I'm like, I'm just going to do it. Like, let's just go. Yeah. So we opened this store about 6 months ago. I think I talked to you about it because it was kind of wild. We had just had like a month build out, which is a little bit wild. I'm aware. But yeah, it was, I think like a lot of stationery people, I just had this dream that one day I would like have a stationery store. And, you know, I'm friends with a few people who have stationery stores. And then being in the industry so long, of course, I have some retailer friends and they were all like, yeah, just do it. You've got this. One was like, I don't know, girl, it's a hard time. Also, it's like, this is maybe the worst time to open a stationery store.
Well, this is what you and I talked about privately in Voxer in our coaching of like, just because we can do something, should we do something? There's a lot of things that are outside of our control right now. You weighed all of the pros and cons and you ultimately decided, no, this is something you wanted to do for your community, for your business. There were so many positive things that were coming out of this, even though you knew going in it was going to be a tough season too.
For sure. With tariffs, I do have a few UK makers in here that we got before the de minimis, but in general, I'd say about 50 to 60% of what's in here is mine. So like maybe selfishly, I only sell my cards and my, like if it's something I make and I feel like I make well, that is the only version of that that we sell. However, it is funny because I like look around the room and it's like I'm surrounded by friends all day and when people come in, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my friend. They live in whatever and they make these cute products. So it's kind of fun because yeah, it is like I'm just surrounded by like my friends, like I'm just looking at everything right now. And we largely do stationery. We do some stickers. If you do a few like crafts, I try to be a bit of a, we talked about this, kind of a community space and like looking at what the community wanted, what the community needs. We do a craft night. So we sell craft kits. So a lot of our craft nights have been like, I'll buy a bottle of wine. And then I'm like, hi, just pick a craft kit off the wall and we'll work on it together. You won't finish it tonight, but you'll have a glass of wine and you'll meet a bunch of people that you've never talked to before.
So and like, fun.
So a lot of our craft kits have to do with that. But otherwise, yeah, it's just all stationery and stationery related.
Nice. I want to go back to what you're saying of like, you sell a lot of products from your friends. Have you ever seen the movie Almost Famous?
No, I feel bad. I know I should
No,
have seen
no,
it.
That wasn't intended to put you on the spot. But there's a woman that's like a groupie, essentially, and she hangs out with all the musicians. And she says that when she goes to the music store and she looks at all the like albums on the wall and stuff, it feels like she's visiting her friends.
Yeah.
And I use that analogy, and you kind of use that same story here of like when I go to these different shops and I see all of our students on the wall and I know their stories, and it's like just so fascinating. I think that gives you a real unique selling point in the store too, that you do know the background of these brands and the people behind the work. And I'm sure your local community resonates with that too.
I think so. I think it's really fun. I try to pick things that are quirky and go with my line and are just like a little bit, it all has to be honest, in case somebody is listening and wants to pitch me, it really has to be like clean humor. There are a lot of kids that come in here. I had somebody pitch me for my art wall, and the art was gorgeous, but it was terrifying for our not so spooky Halloween show. And I was like, girl, I love this. But like, to be honest, I have kids who come in every week and spend their like allowance money, like $5. But I'm like, I can't have this horrifying piece of work on the wall.
And I love that you're that place for your community, though, where they're rolling down the street on their bikes with their allowance money. That's awesome.
It's very cute.
Okay. So you are essentially, just like to set the stage for anyone that's listening, you're essentially running two separate businesses, because having the retail brick and mortar store is a completely different beast and a different business model than having your wholesale line, which you've had for a very long time, and you have a lot of systems in place on the wholesale side. So like, it did make sense for you to layer in this additional revenue stream. But what were some of the unique challenges that you hit as you were kind of starting things up and juggling both of these businesses?
Time management, which I think we've worked on a bit. Time management has been hard. Luckily, I have somebody I hired to work Saturdays. She's amazing. Her name's Danielle. She works here just on Saturdays. And I basically, it's so I can have one day a week off with my partner. So that's been really amazing. One of my really good friends, Jen, works for me in the studio. So there are days where I can be here and she can be in the studio. And she's been working with me since I moved up here. So she's also a printmaker. So it's amazing. I really can just leave her with any and every order that comes in. We also switch places sometimes. Like Jen worked here yesterday, so I could get everything else done at home, because we have a risograph machine here and we're starting to layer in risograph work to our line. And so I could just be like, can you open the store? If people come in, she's great. Like she can take sales, she can run the reso. So she does like everything in one day. And without all of them, I don't think I could do it. So time management was a big thing, and getting used to this new schedule, because I work on Sundays now. So getting used to this, I only have off, really have off on Saturdays, and like really guarding that free time on Saturdays. Yeah. And then something we've talked about before, which is I, with the business, have never had to go into debt. Like, I mean, I'm very lucky. We've never taken out a small business loan. We do have credit cards, but they pay off every month. So the business is, even I've just run it very lean, where we've always been like in the black and knocking on wood again. And to be honest, like opening the store was terrifying, because I forgot about how much stuff I was going to have to buy to like fill a store. And luckily with Fair, as a new retailer, I think I have like $20,000 worth of credit. I don't go anywhere near it, but it suddenly being like, no, it's okay to have a line of credit. Just don't ever buy more than you think you could sell. And so I'm very cautious on what I buy and trying new products, if I'm being honest. Like for Christmas, we're not going that deep. I'm like sitting next to maybe our only full Christmas display along with my cards. We're going to put decorations up, but I really want to buy stuff that within a season, like we try to go through, so that I just don't want to get stuck with a ton of anything. So that was the biggest thing, was just figuring out like how much to spend, like suddenly being like, okay, line of credit, I can do this. Those were some of the biggest.
The line of credit made the cash flow easier, but also to your point, the strategy behind the buying, so that you're not buying overly in holiday that you then have to sit on for another 10 months until holiday season comes around. And it's challenging. You've had the shop for 6 months, so you're still figuring out some of the buying patterns of your customers and how to do that. So I think an advantage here is the fact that you're mainly selling your products, because you can whip new things up if you need to or want to, and you get to experiment a little bit more. Do you find that having the shop has allowed you to experiment a little bit more with new product categories or design styles that you maybe just test on your own in the shop and then release to wholesale later? Or
to be honest, I haven't tried it because I haven't had time, but that is the goal for next year, is to try out like small batch things. I would love to get into like acrylic, flat acrylic, like ornaments, but I think could sell all year. But some of our, like our designs that sell really well, like our pigeon or something, or people ask about pins and then I educate them about pins, that most pins are not made in the US, enamel ones, largely because there's like the amount of toxicity and everything that goes into making enamel pins. So I'm like, no, but I'm thinking about acrylic pins because there's somebody in Tennessee who like makes them and it's much more environmentally friendly. So stuff like that will be really fun. I can test out here for sure. And like our calendar sells out every year. I really didn't release it that much to wholesale, just a couple of our stores that always sell it. And then I just kind of put it here instead. And I was like, we have a limited amount online. If you really want one, come to the store and get one. And it's been a good traffic driver. Not that we're like super busy, but like it is a good way. Like people will come in and say, hi, I saw your newsletter that I have to get it here. But I would like to try more products here that we make. I have, of course, like a huge list of.
Of course, the wish list
I
want to
make. Yeah.
How has having a retail shop altered, or has it rather, has it altered how you're pitching your own products out to stores?
A little bit, to be honest, because I do see the pitches that come in. And there's somebody that we've been buying since we opened. And first of all, her pitches are so good and it's so in her voice. And then just like the treats that she sends, and like, I had never thought about this, but these little quarterly, I think yesterday maybe we were talking about it, the little catalogs that are only, they're like small, they're printed on newsprint, and it's just like, hi, here's what's fresh for this season. And I, to be honest, had never thought about doing something like that. So I would maybe like to shift and think more about like when a retailer opens a package that like, you know, there's something to remind them to buy next. Cause I have kept all of her like little things cause they're so cute. And just like a few other people, like, you know, we order Janine from Quotations and, you know, she has her little zine that she puts in there, and it has made me think a bit about the packaging. And then considering how much pitches I get right now, it's made me less nervous. I mean, we have a pretty good like marketing setup and like automations and outreach, but like it's made me think more about like what's in those emails and feeling less bad about how often I send them. So yeah.
We've been having a lot of conversations in our advisory board, but also like in the labs community about frequency of pitching, timing of pitching. I mean, right now we're recording this in mid-November and, you know, it's a slower wholesale season right now because folks are focused on their stores. They're focused on the consumers that are walking in their doors. And so I think there's a lot of misconceptions about like what people are putting in the pitch, or that the pitch is bad or the product is bad if nobody's responding to the pitches. And that's just not the case. As you've seen, you're getting tons of pitches. You're sometimes just too busy to even look, or, you know, there's too many to facilitate responses to everybody too. So I do like that you're seeing it from the other side. I think it presents a really good opportunity for you to be like, okay, these are the things that are important to me. So these are the things that are probably important to the other stores too that I'm reaching out to.
Also, something I love, which I've done in my own marketing outreach, but something I notice that people do is I like it when I get an email where it's just like, hi, here's just what's going on in the studio.
Yeah.
Not like a buy my stuff, but you know, this is how you can get to know me better. Yeah. And the more, again, like we were talking about, the more I know the brands that I'm selling, easier it is. You can tell a story around a product. So those are the emails I really love to read. And then it made me feel more comfortable that like, oh yeah, we do this all the time. And you know, at the bottom of our marketing emails sometimes, well, it always says like a little note from my dog, Roja, but sometimes I put a little picture there and I was like, oh, this is actually like a really nice touch. Like I'm not just being silly with this.
No, it's a way to build the relationship in a fun and casual way too.
Yeah.
It sets the tone. I like that. I like that a lot. Okay. You have had some very exciting wholesale collabs this year. Are there any you can talk about publicly?
We always have an ongoing relationship with Paper Source and Barnes & Noble, largely Barnes & Noble. They have been our largest key account for years. Maybe the last time I was on the podcast. I can't remember if that's when we got the like enormous first like, six-figure order.
Yeah, from I think it was
Barnes, and that was wild. And then we have just like maintained that relationship for years. That's been great. We do sell to Home Goods. We sell a very different product to them. So it's not at all like what's on my shelf or what's on retailer shelves. That's been a really amazing partnership because they're just like, we don't have grandparents cards. And so I'll be like, cool, give me till tomorrow and I will whip up some grandparent cards for you. That's kind of our relationship with them. We do have a new key account that I can't talk about yet, but stay tuned to socials because I'll be announcing it really soon. I will say, just with like everything I learned at Paper Camp and working with you, like when I announce it, it'll be like 2 years from the first conversation I had with them. And it really is like the long game and it's being patient and it's like the key accounts take a long time to work with, but they are an important part of our business. But I will say we also have this layer of buyers that we call like our VIP buyers. So our buyers who order, you know, we have some buyers who order once a week. We have some buyers who order once a month. We have some that order once a year, but it's like thousands of dollars. So, but all of our retailers are important to us. But yeah, our key accounts are something I'm really proud of because we worked really hard to land all of them.
And the fact that it hasn't been one and done with a lot of your key accounts is a true testament to the relationship you've built there, the quality of the work you provide, the customer service and timeliness of everything. Because there are a lot of folks that like get really excited to work with a key account and it ends up being a one order situation. But the fact that you've maintained these relationships for years is really, really a testament to what you're doing there. I want to talk about your VIPs because I know the indie shops are like truly the bread. We love the key accounts too. They make cash flow really nice when it's coming in. But also the indie accounts tend to be the bread and butter of our community's wholesale sales and revenue. And you and I have had some private conversations, which I'm not going to relay here, but just that you're doing a lot to make those folks feel special and to build those relationships. Can you share some of the things you're doing to nurture those relationships and kind of keep them happy while keeping them coming back buying more?
For sure. I mean, and I will say the importance of trade shows. Basically, I would say like 80% of our accounts have been found at trade shows. Not that we don't get the random, you know, we do a ton of outreach. We do a lot of cold outreach and we do land accounts all the time through that. But it's really nice because then I know that they go to the same shows I'm at. So I can see them live and in person. But I will say we do stuff like I fresh bake cookies and I throw them in with orders sometimes, you know, for our key accounts, if you're listening, not our key accounts, our like VIP, you know, I'm buying a bunch of $5 Starbucks gift cards. So they'll go in with either orders or just our mailer at the end of the year. I think some of it is like the personal emails that we send. Our VIP kind of like that tier is more like I send personal emails to them rather than our marketing emails, just like letting them know what we have or like, how are you? This season is crazy. We're here if you need anything. We do offer some discounts to them occasionally. Like I think especially if you're at a certain tier, we just don't charge shipping, which I can be controversial, but most of our shipping is anywhere from $6 to $12. So it doesn't hurt our bottom line. We've also really got our numbers dialed in. So I don't mind spending $12 to ship something out. We also, for better or worse, are the company that like, we can ship it today or we can ship it tomorrow, which has definitely caused some stressful moments. So I'm trying to be like, within 3 days we'll ship, which is really hard. I had a whole text conversation with Karen from Pier 6 where she was like, does it have to go today? And I was like, well, it doesn't have to. And she's like, it can go tomorrow. It can even go the day after. So
it can, yeah.
Which is nice about the advisory board. I feel like we all just like support each other.
We remind each other of what is necessary versus what is like needed.
Yeah. So it's just like a more personal relationship. And again, if one of these, you know, we have one store that was like, hi, we're in this neighborhood. Could you make a card for us just for our neighborhood? And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Here's the card. I have to print them samples. But, you know, that's kind of what we do for a lot of our buyers is if they want something that we don't have, especially if it's something they're either going to buy, I wouldn't sell six, but like, you know, if it's the store that I know is going to stock it really well, or if it's something that, you know, like there's a few cards that somebody was like, why don't you have one that says this? And I'm like, I will be happy to put that in the line. And then they become really really good selling cards. So we're also lucky in that because we make everything here, I can experiment with whatever works. And if it doesn't work, like if it's something I'm not sure about, maybe we'll only print 50. And then if it's great, then we start, you know, really like pushing how many we print at a time.
I know you do a very good job of nurturing the people that you work with in a way that feels just genuine. You're friends with these people. You care about their business succeeding because if their business succeeds, your business succeeds and vice versa, right? And I think too that in this year where things have felt so hard and there's so much uncertainty and things out of our control, being able to provide that support or even on a whim being able to say, yeah, we can make that for you. Like not everybody can do that and not everybody should do that. But the fact that you've been able to do it does lend itself to building up that loyalty, building up that trust and letting them know, oh, I can go to Kate if I need something and it's probably going to get handled, which is a huge thing.
Our most recent success story, which we were talking about yesterday, is the mini print machine. You know,
yeah,
we have a mini print machine. A store, Lockwood, saw that we had one on our Instagram feed and was like, could we get a mini print machine? And I was like, yes, let me figure this out. So then we did a big launch at their store. It's doing incredibly well. And then like basically the day I was driving into the city, because we did like a whole big party out of it. The day we were driving into the city, I got another message from Vanessa at Awesome Brooklyn, and we're doing a pop-up there tomorrow. I'll drive down for that. And so it's definitely a like say yes and figure it out later, which I don't always recommend, but maybe that's actually my ethos. Maybe I just say yes and figure it out later.
You're always smart about it though, Kate. You're not doing it on a whim. So this has been really fun. It's been fun to hear what you've been up to, what you're thinking about. What are you prioritizing for the next year?
Largely like growing the store and like figuring that out. To be honest, I had thought about maybe buying some commercial real estate. The one thing I will say is hard is like, I feel like there's two halves of my brain that are in different places. And if we could somehow bring production and the store in one place, it's kind of a goal of mine, mostly because people come in and see these tiny presses and they're like, because we do a lot of workshops, we do classes here, we teach letterpress, reso, we do a lot of stuff here. And they're like, you print all of that on this? And I'm like, no, the big presses are at home. And people are like fascinated by it. So I think it would be a really fun thing, but it's just really like figuring out what that perfect space is. I've never bought commercial real estate. So like
figuring that out
and like, the business would buy the property. So, but that's kind of like a long-term goal is like, how can we like put both together so that I'm not as divided as I am right now?
Yeah.
And then like, to be honest, traveling for fun next year is a goal and not for
work. Where do you want to go?
Just anywhere, not for work.
That's fair. I mean, between trade shows and even our advisory board retreats and things like that, it becomes a lot of travel, but
I will say I traveled so much last year. We like went up a medallion status that I was like, oh, this is great. But also, oh,
yeah, exactly. I want to be home more. Some people would say I want to be home more. You're like, nope, I want to hit the road but for fun. Yeah. That's awesome. All right, Kate. Well, this is super fun catching up with you. Tell everybody where they can shop your products and follow you online.
You can always find our products at quickbrownfoxletterpress.com, which does have a link to the store. So you can see all of our workshops and classes. I only cross promote to Facebook. So the best place is Instagram. You can find me at QuickBrownFoxLP.
Awesome. Kate, it was so fun catching up with you. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie.
I love this convo with Kate. She's such an incredible advocate for independent brands in the stationery gift industry. And I'm excited to see what she does next. So to learn more about Kate and her retail shop and all the things she's doing, be sure to check out her links in the show notes. Also, before we wrap up, I wanted to leave you with this. If wholesale is something that you keep circling back to, and you're tired of guessing or second guessing yourself or trying to piece things together on your own, this is exactly why PaperCamp exists. PaperCamp is our 4-week coaching program, and it is designed for product brands that want to build a real wholesale business, not just land a few accounts and hope that it works out. We're looking for like steady income, reorders, higher AOV, all of that fun stuff. So if that sounds like where you're headed and what you'd like to do, I'd love to support you. You can join the PaperCamp waitlist at prooftoproduct.com/PaperCamp, and you will be the first to know when we open enrollment next. All right, thanks for hanging with me today. I'll be back soon with